All right.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. I'd like to call this meeting in order. We welcome everybody to the Sandy Valley Citizens Advisory Council. We ask that everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, just for the record, Randy is excused for tonight. We have our public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on an individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak about to the council about these items within the jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Do we have anybody that has comments on any of the agenda items? All right, we'll move to the next part then. First, we have the approval of minutes for January 14th, 2025.
I move that we approve the minutes for January,
what was
that? 14th. 2025.
All in favor of approval of the minutes for January 14th, 2025?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Unanimous. We have the approval for the agenda for today, February 11th, 2025.
I move that we approve the agenda for tonight, February 11th, 2025.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll move on to our informational items. First, we'll receive a report from Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department.
Good evening. Ken Smith, Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department. For the month of January, we had 14 medical calls, 2 motor vehicle accidents. We had 4 flights for life come into the valley, 50 people up. On the fire side, we ended up with 3 fires, one of them being structured. I know it's cold out. We're trying to keep warm. But if you're insistent on using the space heaters, make sure that you're not overloading your system. It's a bad combination. That's definitely not something you want to wake up to in the middle of the night with that smoking. But short of that, anyone have questions for me?
Is this correct?
What?
That's really different.
Oh, yes. And Sunday night, we're planning on doing another drive-through. It's going to be a chili meal.
Who's making it?
I will. And the eggs are free.
It's a high-end meal, then.
Well, it's donation, so whatever you think it's worth, but we'd like $10.
What are the hours?
5 to 7, or as soon as it's sold out.
Where is this?
Right at the station. You drive right through.
Oh, wow.
You drop something in the boot, we hand you a bag full of food, and you leave. The easiest way, we don't have to clean tables out.
Friday, 5 to 7.
Saturday? Sunday.
Sunday.
5 to 7.
5 to 7, okay.
Ken?
Yes, sir.
I've been calling the number for a burning brush, and I just get this long recording and no opportunity to leave a... Is it still 702-229-0291?
It's the same number, Ken.
Is it?
Yeah, and okay. Right now, that's not under us. That's under...
So,
is there another number we could call that somebody actually answers the phone?
Nope.
I think you're
that's the only number we have.
Never has been.
702-229-0291.
Yeah.
It's daytime hours only. Let them know where you're at, what you're doing. Unfortunately, I don't work in the dispatch center, so I can't tell you how they answer their phones or when.
I mean, we're kind of doing it as a courtesy so you guys don't have to jump into your trucks and rush down to where the smoke is. But if we can't even leave a message or talk to anybody, I just came up the other day.
And we appreciate that, but if someone calls because they see smoke, we're still coming anyways. Yeah. Just to make sure everything's okay, because, again, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
I get an answer every time I called. I burned Sunday.
Oh, well, maybe that was just one day then.
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I call them back and say, I'm done. Yeah.
Can I present my donation?
You can.
I'm here to thank the fire department and the EMTs and whatever Christine is for coming to my aid two different times in the last 3 or 4 months, and I had fallen and cut myself really bad. Christine, and I don't remember the name of the fellow that came there, but they came and she said, we're not going to be able to help you, we're going to have to get the ambulance, so they took me to the hospital. But I eventually went to wound care, I'm all healed up, and then I fell on my shoulder when I did it, and I had to go to physical therapy, and that's, so I've got a donation of $500 to the fire department. I didn't have the supplies I needed, but they sent way, 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 way too many. So I'm going to go with them to you.
She didn't introduce herself, that's my mom.
I was going
to. Megan's my daughter.
And just so you know where this goes. This goes towards training. This goes towards the extra things that we don't get from the county. Going to conference this year is going to be Fallon. Fantastic through the Nevada Firefighters Association. That's where all of these kinds of monies go that we end up collecting. Okay. So thank you very much.
Oh, we'll thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I'll tell you.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much, Ken. Receive a report from Metro.
Hi, everyone. It's Officer Jason Allen. I have nothing really to report. We have been exciting. Things like to call in the Sandy Valley. The only thing is we are moving forward with our new side-by-side program out here for the OHP enforcement. So we have the funds now from the state, and we're just in the acquiring the razor now phase. So once we have that, you'll probably be seeing it out here as we do enforcement in the side-by-side, trying to do enforcement on other razors. Unfortunately, our trucks just can't keep up with the ATVs and UTVs. That will change very soon. Any questions?
Yes. This year it was voted that our Easter Bunny would arrive by police car to the park. Who would I talk to about getting permission for that?
That would be Officer Scanlon. She is our community oriented policing liaison.
Jamie, right?
So Jamie is in charge of all
that. I'll talk to her.
So reach out to her and she will set all of that up.
Very good, thanks.
All right. Anything else? Thank you.
Cool, thank you very much. We'll receive a report from BLM Law Enforcement.
Good evening, everybody. James Boyle. I'm with the Bureau of Land Management's Law Enforcement Program for Southern Nevada District. Our office has been very busy lately, just lots of calls for service. We've had actually 6 or 7 in the Sandy Valley area. All 6 of those were dumping related, which is what my message tonight is going to be about. And I don't think I need to lecture the folks that are civically minded enough to show up to this meeting. But if you see your neighbors out taking things to the desert to dispose of it, whether it's dead animals, which we've seen lately, whether it's septic liquids, that's a big mess. That's going to cost the BLM and ultimately the taxpayers some money to clean that up. Or if it's like a Kansas City jersey that, stuff, please dispose of it properly. And if you're not sure how to dispose of it because it's a weird item, like there's resources either through the county or Republic Services that can help you figure out how to properly dispose of things, besides dumping it on your public lands, which then become make it more open for more people to dump. Because once one person sees some trash there, they think it's okay. They justify it in their own mind, and then all of a sudden we have a much bigger issue. And typically, Sandy Valley's been pretty good about that, so I don't want to see that go the other direction. Yes?
At our previous meeting, the report about the trails, the horse trails and such, these guys live at the end of the zigzag, and they had said there was had been a lot of dumping out there, but now they're seeing people cleaning it up. They don't know who to thank, so I guess you didn't know anyone was cleaning it up, or do you?
I've been in communication, I took some reports and some of my other rangers have taken some reports, and we've been in communication with our Las Vegas field office staff. Some of this stuff has to go through our hazmat office, like the sewage stuff.
Right, yeah.
I think everyone out here is on a well, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Really don't want people dumping their liquids out there, right? Because those could eventually get beached into the groundwater.
They've seen definite improvement over the last month.
Well, great. I'll definitely pass that on. Some of that might be BLM. Some of that might be other groups. I don't want to take credit for other groups in the community that might be doing some cleanup.
Is there a number we can call to report somebody?
Absolutely. We have a 24-hour number. If anyone else, I see you got your pen ready. It is 702-293-8998. That's our law enforcement dispatch center.
8998.
Is there a marker up there? I can write it down if you want.
Okay, we'll have to
erase
it when we
go. I'll erase it when we're done. But yeah, this is the way to get a hold of BLM Rangers for any non-emergency. And like I said, the 24-hour dispatch center, it's actually linked to the National Park Services call center, but we contract with them. If you can't get a hold of us, you can also report it to the Las Vegas Metro, but if it's on public lands, they're probably going to pass it back to us, since we're kind of the primary agency for natural resource crimes on public lands. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot. I'll be around for any questions that you guys have at the end. Or if there's anything that's for the good of the order, I'm happy to answer it right now.
Is brush considered trash?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen people dropping, dumping like limbs and stuff like that, thinking, I guess, because you're in the desert, to dump your palm leaves, it's okay.
I understand where people might think that's less of a problem, right? It's
right.
A natural material, it should decompose.
Right.
We're not in a nice Midwestern forest where we have a soil that actually decomposes things, right?
Right.
We live in the desert, it's very arid. You throw those palm fronds out there, they're going to be out there for 5 to 10 years before they really break down, right? The desert ecosystem is not designed to decompose things.
Right.
And your ornamental plants might bring some weeds that we don't want to spread out to the natural environment.
Okay.
So there's a handful of reasons why we don't want that.
Why? Burn them
under? Yeah, burn them under whatever approvals are required. but yeah, is there anything else I can answer for you?
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
All right, thank you very much. We'll receive a report from Sandy Valley Schools. I know I can speak on the athletic stuff. Winter season just wrapped up, the regular season. Both teams qualified for playoffs, so they're playing this next Friday up at Paranagat Valley in Alamo.
Ooh, good job.
The girls are the number 3 seed, and the boys are the number 4 seed. So that was exciting. They've kind of had a little bit of a rebuilding year, both teams, but they've pulled up enough to be in a position to go compete. So that'll happen this weekend.
Also, we just wanted to report that unfortunately we did have to do a surplus in our school. We had 5 positions that needed to be surplused out. 2 were licensed support and then 3 were support. Also, the money that was encumbered for welding is still in place and it should be starting up in summer. Every senior is on track to graduate.
Nice.
And then just to let you know, senior trip drawing is $1 a piece. We have a lot of items to give away, like hotel stays and headliners and restaurants. So if you are interested, come see me later.
How many seniors are there?
There are a total of 25.
Wow. Oh, wow.
No,
25. No, you're right. 25.
That's the 2, right? Okay, 25.
Yeah.
Is that the highest it's been? Or?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. That's
pretty sure
high to me.
LeClaire's year
that,
was the highest.
Yeah, Megan and Chris. Yeah.
Yeah,
last year's was the largest group.
Okay.
But still decent-sized group, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't understand what you said about surplus
That means that they had to let go of five positions. They had to let go of five people. Now, surplus means that they can go into the district and try to find other jobs. They're not like...
So we've had to cut those positions. We've had to cut some positions just due to the budget for next year. And those positions, those people still have a job within the school district, just not out here.
Actual teachers or...
Two teachers, two licensed, and three of us support.
And this is between the three schools. So we have Sandy Valley Elementary, Sandy Valley Junior, and Senior High School are together in one budget. And then you have Good Springs as a third. So we actually have three different budgets with three different schools. And those positions are amongst the three in total. And there's a couple from each.
Which ones did you cut? What was the...
One was a reading strategist, reading by three strategists, because we do have two. We had one for Good Springs and one for Sandy Valley, so we just ended up with one. Another one, license, let me think.
The second math teacher.
The Shepherd.
Yes, the second middle school math teacher. We have two math teachers, two middle school, one middle school math teacher. And then we took away the elementary clerk position and one CSN because we have two CSNs. And we did also lose, I think, well, surplus, so any more
exploration.
That was a math teacher. I'm thinking, because we had a instructional assistant position, but that person became a teacher. So she was able to possibly go into a teacher. She's not in that position yet, but we're open. She'll get in and we're not replacing it, but I don't know.
So that I think that position's going away, but not the...
Yeah, I don't recall a third support. Yeah, I don't know.
That would have been the third one.
I think that would have been
your minutes. It says one CSM, an elementary school clerk, and a sub-admin.
Yes, sub-admin.
Yeah, that one.
Yes.
But that's already, the sub-admin's, that one's done already.
Yeah, that one's
done. Yeah. So
that's just what your minutes say.
Yeah, that's, I don't know that that's a support, though.
So they are all redundant positions?
Pardon?
That one wasn't part of the budget,
redundant.
Sorry.
There's on another
that, the sub-admin. That was
there
just
is
the
there is
that
a
that
high school registrar
that wasn't part of
who can
budget,
do the same job as the clerk.
Yeah,
and we also have two OS2s
it didn't have,
that
one didn't have to do anything with
also.
That.
Any other questions?
Okay. We'll receive a report from Clark County Parks and Recreation. Okay, we'll receive a report from Valley Electric.
Good evening. Yeah, one thing that's going on right now with the federal government funds that are being frozen right now, we actually have involvement in our project for solar and battery storage. It's a $10 million project. We're going to be reevaluating that and watching and see what happens with that. The other thing that I have is there will be an open house for District 5. That's our district out here on March 20th. It's going to be at the Senior Center. The doors are going to open at 6, and the presentation will start at 6:30. Be a good chance to meet our new CEO. We talked about this at the board meeting, and staff is asking if there are any topics that members would like to hear about. So if you have any, feel free to let me know what they are. And that's it.
Any time frame on when we're going to get the fiber turned on here?
You missed.
It's probably not going to be this year. It's probably going to be early next year. And I mentioned in the last meeting, the problem has been, and I didn't realize how bad it was, but it's extremely hard to get permits and licenses and everything to go through. Everybody needs a license to do anything. Mm-hmm. And it slowed everything down. It's made the progress, so instead of everything being strategically planned out and done in order, everything's been done in hodgepodge, so everything's been slowed up. But it will be here. It's one of our main goals to get it done.
Thank you very much. We'll receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services.
All right. I don't have a whole lot tonight. The pass, as you can see, still is not done. I called in the potholes, so they should be filling those in the next couple days. And, you know, they won't last long. It's just, it is what it is. They're hoping this summer. I was hoping first quarter. This summer, they're going to start the project, so then you guys can all complain about traffic because of construction, but that should be starting soon. I had worked with Metro a year and a half or so ago to evaluate all the roads in the community to see which ones were the worst with the poof dirt and, you know, the problems we deal with, and they had sent me a very lengthy list. I sent it to Public Works and I said, we can't do all of those. So I worked with the fire department to go through and prioritize. So I sent that list to Public Works today. So they will be coming out and graveling and grading the roads that are most in need of service and the ones that are most troublesome for emergency services, because that's in the end what we need to be able to reach our homes, most importantly, is emergency services. So I know the next question I'm going to get is, why didn't my road get done? We can't do them all. And so we had to prioritize the ones that needed the most. We are doing Missoula Children's Theater again this year. It'll be April 14th through the 19th. They're doing Rumpelstiltskin this year. April 5th, we are going to have Shakespeare in the Park. And we are going to do a little Renaissance fair. So I have zero experience with Renaissance fairs. So if that is something you guys are into, please help me out. Send me contacts.
Did you say April 4th?
April 5th.
April 5th.
Yeah, Saturday. So I have gotten the name of a guild. I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to call the woman who's in the guild to help. So please, if you know somebody or if that's your thing, please reach out and we'll figure it out. So maybe small this year, probably be small this year, but we're gonna grow it hopefully in the future. So I think that's it for now.
Thank you. You'll send me all the April info. Hmm?
Okay. Any questions for me?
Did you just tease us with the spray paint on the Sandy Valley Road there for a while? All of a sudden you saw the hot pink spray paint?
No, and I don't think that was us. There's also some transmission line stuff coming through that's coming from all the way over in the El Dorado Valley, and it's upgrades to the transmission lines that are going to come through and then up to the Trout County Station. I think that's probably what that was for. No, I don't think it was for the road. I know. I drive it every day too. Believe me. I know. You got to dodge the potholes.
What are you here fighting for? That's amazing.
I know. I'm always fighting. But believe me, the director of public works gets tired of hearing about Sandy Valley.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you could have the people fill in the potholes, wait till after Thursday. It's supposed to rain, and there will be more potholes.
Yeah. And I don't know when they're coming out, but you're right. I mean, but it's help you do it, help you don't, because then they'll fill with water, and you won't see them. I don't know.
I love that.
It sucks. I'm sorry.
Can public works be bribed?
Cookies,
all the
like I said before, we have to share public works with all 8,000 square miles of Clark County. And in case you didn't know, Clark County is the size of New Jersey. So about the size of New Jersey. So we have to share with everybody else. And I'm sure the guys would love to come out for cookies and stuff, but they don't get to. So, yeah.
We talked about this previously, but coming off the road from Ports onto the post office property, mm-hmm. where it's pretty brickled and there's nice drop offs. So just having that related.
Yeah.
Thank you.
tree. I'm always trying to dodge that. I'm like, nope.
Oh, I know. I was picked. Which one? Where am I going to go?
Yeah, where's the
one of those spots?
Okay. Anything else for me?
Use the truck and don't care.
Have you heard anything else
about
that solar project?
Solar, I have been, I'm stepping out of liaison and being Santa Valley resident. I've been doing a lot of research on the solar. I'm going to put together a meeting and put it out to whoever wants to get together and put our heads together about how we're gonna fight it. So,
well, since they're shutting down the one over here at Ivanpah because it's just not doing its jobs, that should be, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's land available. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does failure have to do with potential failure in the future?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not working there. Where are you going to put one here?
Yeah, know? So.
Don't lose that one.
No, I'm still in the background working on it.
So. Okay.
Anything else?
All right, so we do not have any planning and zoning info, so we'll move on to general business. We have received the Sandy Valley CAC bylaws.
And I forgot to grab them off the printer, so I will get them to you before you
okay.
Let me get this going here. So go ahead.
Continue. We'll just go to next. All right, we'll receive a report from Ben Krusky, BLM Fuels Program Manager, regarding the recent herbicide treatment in the Good Springs area.
Yes. Where would you guys like me to stand?
Hold on. We're going to stand here.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'll stand here.
We're good either way. Don't sweat it.
We're pretty informal.
Not that same
time.
Right here.
No. Of all your options, that's the only one that's a no. Okay, let's see if I can tilt this up. Okay, that's just going to
work.
Everybody just kind of...
Yeah. I'll take
it.
Use
that and get on the other side.
I'll bet that's going to
hold. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Ben Krupski, as you guys have mentioned here. I'm the Hazardous Fuels Program Manager for Southern Nevada BLM. I'd like to thank Megan for the opportunity to come and just share some things that we're doing in the community, some of the things we're seeing amongst your community. And just hopefully help
that's good.
It is what it is.
Help us. And Ken and I have a colleague, Kevin. We've worked with quite a bit in a shared stewardship group. And just we're good, yeah, looking at the whole picture and how we can basically make your community fire-wise is what we're looking at here. So to start off here, this is with the Sandy Valley and Good Springs. I'm sure some of you guys remember I believe it was November, it's called an aerial herbicide application over by Good Springs. We treated about a couple thousand acres with an herbicide to reduce the invasive annual grasses. A lot of our fires are started along the roads, and that's where we do see quite a few annual grasses. And so we're looking at trying to stop the spread of grasses. So,
will it also stop the native annual grasses?
A lot of the native annual grasses, they are, more of the natives are more of a perennial. So, which is, what we're using is a pre-emergent herbicide, mm-hmm. And so that'll just get for the seeds before they, as they germinate, that's when they're most susceptible to the herbicide, so you put the least amount out.
There is a couple of annuals that are native also that will be affected by a pre-emergent.
There are some. But for the most part, a lot of our native species that are a fire threat are going to be the invasive annuals that's causing the large problem, and they're overtaking all the other ones. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But we do have, like on the screen here, we have kind of a illustration. These are some fires recently here in the area. Let's go to the next slide here, too. This is the Good Springs. So this is Good Springs here. And then the next one will be the Sandy Valley slide. So the next slide here. So this is a little bit more dialed in for the Sandy Valley community. Obviously on the left screen here, down in the far left corner is this community, amazing community here. And you can just see, look at all the starts we got here. Did you guys have any idea there's this many fires?
Yes.
So what does the color coding mean?
So a lot of those are some size and different ignition sources. So on our next slide here, just kind of some of your historical fires. I don't know if you guys remember the 2005. This was a huge fire. This is well over 30,000 acres. You know, that obviously impacted the whole area here.
170 power poles.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. And amongst many other things. This really had a really big impact in the community. We have been doing some monitoring. And so we do have some data from what the impact of the fire was. When a fire happens, it makes a disturbance. And every time there's a disturbance, then there's a response to that disturbance. And so we've been monitoring us, and we partnered with Steve Abella with UNLV. And so we've got some long-term data for monitoring and the impacts and where we get the most benefit. If we do target and get rid of those invasives, that creates opportunities for your native perennials. So we're using the best science we can with all of our partners and just doing everything we can to provide the best vegetation management. It's really what it boils down to. Our next slide we got here is the Cottonwood Fire. It's a little bit more recent, about 5 years ago. That was up by the pass. So, here we are, just some more statistics. We're in just general Southern Nevada District for all of you. In the last 2 years, we investigate all the fires we can. We send a fire investigator to. Many times it's undetermined. We get there and it's, maybe it's just a bush, maybe it's not. We can't specifically identify 100% what the fire started by. Fireworks will be the next. Pretty common. Like for example, in Clark County, I think we had over 60 fires that put on the night of the 4th of July that we found on the 5th of July. But obviously we can't find that it was specifically the firework, but there are fires everywhere.
We had one here.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And it's a busy night for Ken, well, for everybody, I guess. But just to kind of give you an idea, some stuff that wasn't provided, it would be maybe show up and we drove over it or something. We just can't determine it. Lightning fires would be your natural causes, quite a few of those. I think we had one just right outside the community here. Maybe in the recent past year or two, I would say, a pretty decent one. And then our firearms. That's another large one here. That it's rural. Everybody goes and shoots. Started practicing. Well, specifically up by Mule Springs area at the intersection Sandy Valley and 160, we did quite a few fires up there. I think we had 4 or 5. I can think of just last summer alone. Monday I was up there looking at the mules with one of my co-workers, and they're shooting all around us. They're shooting against the rocks. So that's a pretty common area, common cause of fires in this community, especially up in the northeast here. Very few with arson, but they still are there, and some of those could potentially be in the undetermined. So this is for all of Southern Nevada. Any questions on this slide? The next slide, we'll go into just more of the community here. So this is a little bit kind of a zoomed in, where we showed the examples, and this is where your color coding comes into. Your causes, so here again, these are the total. We had 22 fires in the last 2 years. It's really kind of fire season all year for us here. So this is kind of your statistics for, your immediate community here for you guys. So, just as I just mentioned, you got a shooting area just to the northwest here. So we get quite a few fires up there. So, and a lot of times, We don't even hear about them. You know, we'll find them.
These are just whatever's on public lands.
Mm-hmm. This is what's been reported to us.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So we, so keep reporting to us.
Oh, yeah. So
how we do it, vegetation management. We have many kinds of it. One of them is mechanical, so they're disking, mowing, making like dozer, bulldozer lines, that type of stuff. Prescribed fire is good. That is common. You know, they do a back burn is a common terminology. But in the Mojave, that doesn't always get the best response. So a lot of times that does invite that disturbance for the invasive to come into. And it's difficult to control. There's some of this stuff is 50 years before it'll recover. So that's kind of one of the reasons we put so much effort into stopping the fires and stopping the impact.
Yep. How effective is mechanical? Because every time that you plow, that's where the tumbleweeds don't grow when it's not disturbed.
And so in this particular environment, we aren't. My program is not doing any plowing, doing bulldozing, anything like that. One mechanical thing we do is over on the Virgin River, we will do what's called a mastication, and that's just a big grinder on a hydraulic head, and it grinds it and chips it. So that would be one mechanical one that we do.
You're talking about with the salt feeders?
Exactly.
Yep.
Salt feeder. So that's one mechanical that we do on this district, but this is just an example for other places and just some terminology. What we do with all our research is showing, though, is the chemical treatment. We've got some approved herbicides that have got, it seems like the Department of Interior is a little bit hesitant until they're very certain. There's a lot of research done, and there's not going to be adverse effects before we have an approved herbicide that we will use. So the Department of Defense is a little bit sooner. We're up to 10 years behind the Department of Defense, and they provide some statistics to help with their research.
What specific herbicide did you guys spray in November?
So that one, we're getting to that one. It's called Imazapic. And Imazapic, I've got it on a future slide here.
Thank you.
Yep. Exactly. So chemical is our preferred. We're able to target it. We put the least amount out as necessary, and we target the seeds just as they germinate. That's when they're the most susceptible, and we can put out the least amount and have the greatest effect. So, next slide. So, as I mentioned here, the Mojave is not really a fire-adapted ecosystem. It does far better with your native vegetation. Within my program, we are trying to transition the whole ecosystem back to the native. That's where it's best for the grazers. So we've got all the cows, horses. For us, desert tortoise is a grazer. It's eating grass. One thing we're finding is with the it's called the brome grasses. So we have cheatgrass and red brome. Those are the and schismus. They're the ones that we're targeting when we're doing these treatments. Some of the research has indicated as the desert tortoise grazes on the red brome, they get full, but there's not enough nutrients in there, so their offspring are not surviving. And so that's one thing that my program we're trying to do is we're trying to manage the whole vegetation so it is also good for the ecosystem. And it makes it more fire resilient. We make you a fire-wise community at the same, at the same effort. So it's kind of hopefully we can get the best.
Desert horses don't survive the installation of solar fields either.
And there's that's a whole other subject. I'm here to speak on vegetation. I'm happy to talk about vegetation management and what we can do for the tourists. But on that note, I am aware of that, and and that's why we put such an emphasis on converting that into the native vegetation, where it will convert and it will be good for all grazers. For all, you know, everything is grazing out there. So it's as I mentioned, it takes up to 50 years in this environment. And so as much as we can do to convert it, we're trying to do it with our fuel treatments. Not sure if you guys remember, this was the York Fire in 2023. It burned a little over 90,000 acres that came out of California, kind of in the Abiquina area, Searchlight. Pretty big event. This was it's a phenomenal Joshua Tree forest. Just beautiful place. And extreme winds, and they're just a kind of a combination of the invasive grasses coming in the interspaces, and just basically taking over. They got the seeds got started, and it leads to something like this with an extreme wind event, which we can't do anything about the wind. And that does impact it. However, we can put our treatments wherever we can be the most effective. So just a couple slides here of this was an over 90,000 acre fire a couple years back in our vicinity. Next slide here. Just another kind of a footprint of, you know, in the middle here, that you guys can see just how big that fire was and where it went. It came clear into Nevada, so pretty darn quick. Next slide. So, a Mazapit. Here we go. You just have to spell it here. So, what it is that. So, it controls broadleaf weeds and grasses. As I mentioned, it's a pre-emergent. So, we put, the amount we put on is we put 3/4 of a cup per acre. Wow. So, just droplets, just tiny little droplets. The most effective, cost-effective way, and the most we get the most success was doing it with Caribou. So they calibrate the sprayers, the speed and the height. They don't do it. We shut them down if they get to 6 mph wind or more. We shut them down until it gets back to us, so we don't have to drift. And we control it. We're targeting. This is a picture of red brome here. You guys can just see on each tip of those grasses how many seeds are on the tip of that. And there's a ton of them. If you're out walking, they get stuck in your socks.
We call that red robe?
Red brome. Yep.
Brome.
Thank you for asking. Here it is, red brome is an area. This is specific to our area. Need to higher elevations, Idaho, Oregon. It's cheatgrass, which is downy brome.
Which we still get the cheatgrass.
We get some here. Yeah, it's not quite as dominant in the higher elevations.
You haven't been in my yard.
Well, we gotta get help you out again. it grows quickly. All invasives, they reproduce like crazy, as we just saw in all those seeds. And they get established before the natives do. They basically take over. This particular fuel, it gets dry fast and it burns fast in the wind, even without the wind. And like I said, it gets established and it outcompetes the natives. So as you can see, it's with that red, that big red tip on it, tufted. Like you can see, it's smaller than 8 inches, but 20. And then it gets just tan. If you look out of the Good Springs fire, you can look out there and see how it's a lighter tan, and the rest of it isn't. That's your brown masses. You can pick it up from miles away.
Can I ask a quick question about this? The red brown about a bird that it came over. It was never here before, except after World War II. It came in the tracks of Patton's tanks back from the desert, over
wherever.
Is that true or not?
I, you know, no one really admits to bring it here. there's many theories of the labor that's coming from Russia with cows, which that doesn't also make sense either, but it's not horses.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm curious to know.
No one admits that. Hey, that was me.
During the 1870s, the Interior Department insisted that the cavalry seed cheatgrass because they wanted to make sure that the cavalry horses had plenty to eat. And Red Rome came in with that.
That's another theory that I don't know that it specifically started with that, but it grows like crazy. It grows really well. Other places, it's highly animals target it. They love it, but not here. It's taking over the West.
Our biggest problem with Red Roman cheatgrass is that our natives go dormant in the wintertime. Red Roman cheatgrass sprout in the wintertime. Long before the natives come out.
It takes the resources and it grows and establishes and then eventually just takes it over. So you're exactly right. Well, with this imazapic, we get it early. Get it early, and it targets it with the least amount, and it stops that next year's crop. Imazapic is. We see from a year and a half to 3 years in viable, so it'd be able to kind of keep feeding the future crops of seeds. And so, ideally, we can stop the growth of it, and then each time it grows, it doesn't seed again. So that's the whole cycle we're chasing here. So,
is this the first time that you did this?
For Good Springs, I'm sorry, did you ask the question? So in the Good Springs, this is the first treatment that we have done here, as long as I can remember. This is the first time.
Are there plants spraying over here?
We recognize the need, and we've been analyzing, and we're looking for places that we can integrate it into our shared stewardship program. And so with that, if the Forest Service is treating off of Mount Potosi seed, then we want to kind of continue that treatment as well. And so we're getting our information. I've applied for the funding. I will tell you that. I do have some proposals in the area, and we're going to present it to the shared stewardship group. And so we can kind of systematically do, if you put a field break here and here, we don't want anything in there. So we just want to systematically go through and be the most effective. So. It can be harmful to aquatic life. We avoid it anywhere that's like 200 meters from any water source. We stop and we don't spray any near water sources for that. It breaks down quickly. If it does drift, it can get on targeted areas, so that's where we have that cutoff. We do have, that's how we met Megan, was we have people out and we're monitoring it and we're just seeing where they are. We're ensuring that our contractors don't spray when they're out of our prescription. It says that last 1 year or more, we're seeing it's about 18 months is what we're seeing. So if we do it like in the winter, we're kind of getting two growing seasons at a minimum out of that. Very low toxicity, again, we do it in tiny amounts. If it is ingested in humans and mammals, It is excreted rapidly, and it does not store in the tissues. So that's just what years of research have shown us. And like I said, we do 6 ounces, so 3/4 of a cup over an acre. So what we'll do with air cups, they'll mix it with 3 gallons of water for 6 ounces, and then they'll spray that. And as I mentioned, like it's all calibrated, so carry as much.
Is it available for residential use?
Certainly is, yep. It is. Plateau is one of the common names, but imazapic is just basically, it's definitely available.
I'm here with my cheatgrass.
Yeah. But there's other ones that just came out. I'm sure we did there.
Okay.
Can you spray something that cuts down on the puncture thing?
If you have puncture line, I would love to find out where.
Oh, yeah, we've got it.
Okay. Is it on BLM land?
No.
I'm sure the seeds blow from somewhere.
Yeah. I'll take note of that.
It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Just send someone out there.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that. That's, you are definitely a, and if you see puncture line, if you can't pull it.
I know, but I mean.
It just keeps coming.
Yeah.
So I understand. But that's a lot to believe. Oh. We just get out and move forward as soon as you see a certain spirit.
I've managed to get it under control in my yard by getting a hula hoop and just walking around the yard and bump it when they're a little tiny before they've gone to seed.
Yeah.
And you have to do it for 4 years in a row because the seed doesn't sprout all the time. It sprouts over a 4 year period.
They have multiple things throughout the spring too.
Right. And once you've done it for 4 years, you're just fine until the next major is mid or rain where your neighbors
No, I know the goat heads.
They don't fall around. They just,
what's it called?
That's called puncture vine?
Or goat heads?
Goat heads.
Goat heads.
Oh, the goat heads. Oh.
Evil. Evil.
Puncture vine. You need to do that. That's why you need to take your shoes off and get out of my house. Mm-hmm. I don't want to step on
you. That's our cue.
We are looking at the community, but again, we want to do it as a systematic approach where we're working with our partners and we're all about, you know, just going in just all our own. So, thanks again, Megan, for the opportunity. And should we get funding for projects? I will come back and we'll also, again, we'll show you guys where the project is going to be, what it's going to be, and,
So I did look up Red Brome. It was first introduced in the 1880s from three possible ways, but probably the way we got it, it says, in contrast to accidental introduction, Red Brome was seeded near the University of Arizona at Tucson from 1906 to 1908 for evaluation as a forage plant. This grass soon escaped and became established along the Santa Cruz River. And then it moved to Arizona, Northern Arizona, St. George. And then in addition, it was becoming common in waste places and cultivated areas around Las Vegas, Nevada during this time in 1935. So thank you, University of Arizona.
Anybody else have any questions? That's all right. If we get something, we'll be back with you guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the council's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please stand, clearly state your name and address, and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the council by majority vote. Yes, Christine.
Lucy Brown, just representing 4-H. This weekend, everybody got a cookie. That was just a sample of what we'll be having. Friday and Saturday, in front of the Family Dollar, the 4-H Club will be doing a bake sale. This is to help get us to the fair, which is in Logandale. Unfortunately, because of the crazy bird flu, and then we've got one specifically for Nevada that isn't anywhere else in the world, we're not able to bring our chickens to the fair, so the kids have pivoted, and we're doing gardening. So all this stuff costs a bunch of money, so we're just raising money for that. So we'll have bouquets you can buy for your wives or your cousins. We'll have sugar spreads and then lots of really good treats. So come out and buy from the kids. Yes, please.
And that's both days, Friday, Saturday.
Yes, 9 to 5.
Dollars. Mm-hmm. Dollars, Joe.
Family Dollar.
Family Dollar.
Yep.
Thank you. Do you have any other comments? Gail, I know you want to, so.
I know. I can hardly stand it. Okay, so this Saturday, the 15th, for those who ever come to the food share at the park, it's normally USDA give out is on the second Saturday. It got postponed to the 15th, so the giveaway is at 10 a.m. Pancake breakfast is at the senior center from 8 to 10:30. There's a Meet the Authors book presentation also on the 15th, and that's from 11 to 1 in this room. There's 6 authors that are going to be presenting and having their books for sale, and I'll sign them. Let's see what else we got here. The chili thingy. Last Monday of every month, if you think you're funny or musical, we do an open mic at the Idle Spurs starting at 7. Anyone's welcome. It's all acoustic, jokes, and stand-up. And groceries on the go. They added a second day, and today was the first day. It's the first one of the month. The next one will be February 25th. And they're doing it from 10 to 11 because evidently they now have a bus instead of having to set up the tent setup thing in the park. So every second and fourth Tuesday from 10 to 11, and they have produce and meats and lots of, they have dairy,
everything.
So, yeah. And they evidently keep prices low because they don't have the overhead of a store. It's through
United
Health. Okay. Alrighty, I think that's everything for the month. Oh, and yes, the full year of dates of events are going to be put around town. We approved all the event dates. We've added back in the Health and Happiness Expo, where you'll see dentists and doctors and people from Vegas that want to have you come to them. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you very much, Gail. Uh-huh. Do we have any other comments?
Sorry,
yes.
We've got a new pastor at Santa Valley Community Church. Pastor Don, you want to stand next?
I do.
This is Pastor Don and his wife Eileen, and I just wanted to introduce you to them. So, we are going to still have our Hawaiian dinner. We got interrupted with the senior center a few times. We're going to move it until the summer, where you can come and meet. But you come and meet them beforehand.
Welcome to Sandy Valley.
Thank you.
Do we have any other comments? All right. Our next meeting will be on March 11th. This meeting is adjourned.